for our hearts this morning. Awesome.
Good morning. Hopefully everybody can hear me. Warm greetings from River of Life Center. That's probably a good start. All right, thank you, Lord, for this opportunity. I pray, Lord, for your presence to guide us, Lord, through this coming time. Thank you, Jesus, that you are here. You're the center of everything we're doing. Glory to your name. Amen. All right. As Mark already said, my name is André Mick. I'm born in the Netherlands and bred in the Netherlands, which is why you're hearing a Dutch accent. So hopefully you'll still be able to understand everything I say. I trust you will. Right, and I was kindly invited by Roy to share what God did in my life. So many years ago, I was when I lived in the Netherlands. My father, he was a Pentecostal preacher and evangelist, and he founded a number of churches in the Netherlands. And so he dragged me along with the rest of my siblings and my mom to all these evangelization meetings, evangelization activities outside, whatever it was, I had to come along. The thing is, however, that it didn't really click with me. It never really did. And I almost had no friends in the church. Why was that? Maybe it didn't help. I was the preacher's kid. And I experienced church actually as quite a lonely place for me. It wasn't really where I found a lot of connection. Very different outside the church. So outside the church, I had lots of friends. And they were all very accepting of me. And so that created that contrast, right? I had this world outside the church where I had lots of friends, and inside the church where I had to come along to all these meetings. And it wasn't really a life for me. So that continued for a while. And then at some stage, I ended up in my teenage years, and I was like, oh, I don't really want to go to this church anymore. And of course, that was a terrible thing for my parents. For them, that was a big shock when I said I didn't want to go to church anymore, I didn't believe in God. I wanted to party. I wanted to do fun things in life. And I felt I missed out, so I hung out with my friends, and we would go and spend lots of time, go out drinking and partying. I would go to Amsterdam in the evening and would come home in the morning at 7 a.m. when my parents got up for church. So my life was very different, obviously, from their life. However, in my heart, there was still an emptiness. And that emptiness, obviously, was because I'd seen people being healed. I'd seen things happen in the evangelical church. They do make you question, like, okay, there has to be more between heaven and earth than what we're seeing there. And there was this emptiness, so I tried to fill that. But of course, not with God. We're not going to go there. So I started filling it with things like New Age. I decided to read more New Age magazines, read about tarot, read about hypnotism, read about near-death experiences. That all interested me. And so I absorbed quite a bit of that. And one day in a New Age magazine, I saw an article about white witchcraft. And that really spoke to me, because I thought, wow, that's amazing. It talked about a god and a goddess and being one with nature and having powers, magic powers. And somehow that really clicked inside me. So I thought, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to write a letter to that magazine and ask if I somehow can get in touch with these people. So I did. A few weeks later, I got the letter back, and I got an invitation from that the witch that was being interviewed. I was over the moon. It only was 8 kilometers away from where I was. So I thought, this is meant to be. So I went there, and it was an open night for witches, Wicca, as they call it nowadays. And I learned more about what it is all about. It was just an introduction night. And I did a few of these introduction nights. And I was like, wow, this is everything that I wanted. It taught about doing what you will, but love on the law. Taught about harming none, that you're free in everything that you would do. So be free in everything that you do, but harm none. So I would have all these simple laws that I thought, that's just great, that's all you need. And one night, the leader, which was a woman, and she was a high priestess in a coven, came to me and she said, well, we're going to start a school for witchcraft very soon, and you can apply for that if you like. So I applied, and I was allowed to go in there. So I started studying witchcraft in the evening. During the day, I would study for a Bachelor of Engineering, and at night, I would study witchcraft. My parents knew nothing about this. I would keep this very secret from them. And I loved it. I absorbed it. This is all I ever wanted to do. I moved to my own place, which was easier because otherwise I would have had to keep everything hidden. And I started meeting, of course, people in witchcraft. I made lots of friends in that space. And you become very close because you're very like-minded, of course. And you learn about witchcraft. It has it celebrates full moons, and it draws magic circles, and you do rituals, and it is working with power. So you learn how to do magic, how to hear the voice of the goddess, how to do divination. So I was enrolled in all that, and then came another period where I started connecting with another witch's coven, which is further in the Netherlands, and they were called Surface Circle. And I was assigned spiritual parents there, and they began to train me as well. So I was deep into this. Now, there were obviously sometimes doubts. I mean, when there was a ritual, for example, and you were worshipping the horned god called Lucifer, that, of course, always raised a bit of a red flag. But I would be like, okay, well, that's what Christians believe, that there is such a thing as a devil. Witches don't believe in a devil. They say that's a Christian invention. So I was into this, and we started our own witches' coven as well at that point. So that is really the next step where you become active in this, and you have your own group. And they become closer than your brothers and sisters. They are very close to you. And I love doing it. I did. In witchcraft, there were strong disciplines. I wasn't allowed to actually use drugs because you always needed to be spiritually in control. But once, one period, I had, you can call it a weakness, a backsliding. I used quite a bit of drugs, and the goddess of the witches was angry at me because of that. I could see her, I could hear her, and she expressed anger if I would use drugs. And I remember one night I was in the army. I had to go to the army in the Netherlands. That was compulsory. And I was in my room. I was the only one in my room. I didn't share that room with anybody else. And the whole room, I was stoned, and all of a sudden there was a darkness coming into this room. A darkness of like 100 small dark creatures coming into me, into the room, and my heart began to pound and pound and pound, and I thought, I'm going to die. I really thought, this is it, I'm going to die. And I remembered my mother one day said to me, Andre, if you're ever in trouble, you can always call upon the name of Jesus. And you know what? I couldn't call upon my goddess, who I always would call upon, because she was angry with me because I had used the drugs. So I swallowed my pride, and I said, okay, Lord Jesus, help. As soon as I said that, the darkness immediately vanished, and I was no longer stoned. I was immediate. There was no response like, oh, now you need me. Nothing like that. He was immediately there, and there was perfect peace in the room. But I was a very stubborn and rebellious kid. So I brushed it off as a Christian experience, but not for me. I did stop using drugs after that, and continued in witchcraft. And I remember having encounters with that goddess. She would speak to me, how she had great plans for me, etc. And then I came out of military service. I was around 24, 25 years old. And I decided, well, what am I going to do? I can just find a job and do what everybody does, but I really wanted to travel the world, so I chose to travel the world with my backpack, and New Zealand was one of the countries I always wanted to go to. I took my witchcraft materials with me, and I thought, you know what, if I really like New Zealand, I can always start a school for witchcraft there. So that's how I went, and there were a number of countries that were on my list, but New Zealand was my main one. Somehow that always interested me. And I started hitchhiking around New Zealand. And you know what? There were Christians picking me up. And not the kind of Christians that I was used to, the ones that just smiled with a Christian smile, but kind of lived half a worldly life. No, these ones were real. And they would invite me into their house. They would show love to me. And I was like, wow, who does that? That is amazing. Clearly, obviously, there are some Christians that actually do what they believe. And the next time I remember, I stood hitchhiking. They'd given me the address of people, Christians again, in case I couldn't get a ride, and of course I couldn't get a ride, so I would have to go to the Christians again. And they would take me into the house again, and they again would show love. And I was amazed about how real some Christians could be. But I was like, you know what? That's the Christians. Obviously there are some Christians that mean really well, but I've got my goddess, and I have what I have. And this is your path. And that's my path. And then came the moment I was going to go to Palmerston North. And Palmerston North, why Palmerston North? My parents had some friends living in Palmerston North. And they said, write to them, because we know them. And I was like, sounds good, a free roof, free food. And they said, yes, come. So I stayed there for 2 weeks. They were Christians. And I obviously didn't really want to tell them I'm a witch. I kept that very well hidden from Christians. So I just played the backslidden Christian and hoped they would just leave me alone. Again, they showed love, a lot of love. They were so kind. They never forced me into a corner. They never tried to push me into their Christianity. And probably they wouldn't have been successful because I had my answers ready for whatever you would have thrown at me. I wasn't open to Christianity whatsoever. As a matter of fact, I thought of Christians as weak, usually. And the annoying thing is, when I was in their house, I could not hear my goddess. I had to go outside in order to hear the goddess. That annoyed me. I was like, wow, why is that? And then, of course, I was just about to leave. 2 days before I left, it was a Sunday morning, they said, hey, we're having a special service this morning, would you like to come? And I thought, well, you know, they've been nice to me, gave me a roof, gave me food, the least I could do is go to a church. And how bad can it be, right? It's just a church. And so I was fully expecting to sing a few songs and survive the preaching. So that didn't quite happen. I came into that church, into that auditorium, and there was a force in that auditorium. There was a powerful force there. As soon as I entered the auditorium, it was like a laser beam that went right through me. And it said, I love you, I love you, I love you. And I was like, what is this? This is not the kind of church that I'm used to. And it was so strong and so loving. It was this pure love that went right through me there. And then the church started, and the presence was so strong. I remember people trying to get to the front, but some people didn't even make it. They had to crawl to the front because there was some sort of power there. And I began to feel sick, physically ill. And I had to get out of the church into the bathroom. I remember looking at myself in the mirror, thinking, like, I'm not going to be beaten by a bunch of Christians. So I would invoke magic shields. And those magic shields are pretty strong. So I did invoke them. But as soon as I walked back into the auditorium, it smashed right through the shields. There was nothing I could do about it. I just had to endure the pure love, the power that would call out to me, I love you, I love you, I love you. And after that church service, I was like, I can never go back to that church. But I was confused. I left Palmerston North, I went to Wellington to a youth hostel, but I was unhappy because I'd experienced something that is far more powerful than what I'd ever done. I experienced a kind of love that was unconditional, that would call out to me. There was nothing like that ever that I experienced in witchcraft like that. I mean, witches, if you're nice to them, they can be nice to you. And if you're mean to them, they can be very mean to you. It's conditional, right? But this was not like that at all. This was, I love you. It was a love that was so deep. I didn't know anybody could love me like that. So I was deeply unhappy. And I was like, what am I going to do? What if these Christians are right? And then I'm in trouble. So I decided this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to call upon that God. And he can then prove himself to me. And if he doesn't show up, well, at least then I can say to him, well, you never showed yourself. I called upon you. You never showed yourself. So I thought it was a good idea. So I went into the park on the waterfront. I made sure there were no people, and I then began to say it. Lord of the Christians, God of the Christians, make yourself known to me if you are real. That's it. I thought I'd done everything I needed to do, and I let it go. Now, he didn't wait very long. That same night, I was in my bed in a hostel, and all of a sudden, in front of me, I saw a vision. It's like a screen turned on in front of me. And it had a black hole in it in the middle. And I was sucked right into the hole. I remember falling for a while into deep darkness. And then I came into a place where there were dragons and they were swearing and cursing. But the first thing I heard, you're not yet home where you need to be. And I sank right through the floor in an even deeper part. And the walls there were made of liquid fire. And I knew I was home. I don't know how. I said, I belong here. That was there was an inner conviction. And I saw demons of witchcraft. And they were so cold. Their eyes were so cold. And they were so full of evil. There was nothing good about it. And then the picture left me. And I was like, oh, this has got to be the Christians again. So I pushed it out of my head again. I was a stubborn kid, I tell you. I fell asleep, and then in the middle of the night, that same night, I woke up, and I heard singing next to my bed, blessings will be poured out upon you, blessings will be poured out upon you. And my body began to shake, uncontrollably. And the whole room began to fill itself with that same presence. That same presence that was in the church. And then I had my eyes closed, but I could see. There was this man standing there, bathing in light, with his arms white, and the biggest smile on his face. And there were all these colors coming out of him. And the laugh that came off him was unbelievable. I didn't know anyone could even love someone like that. I was so deeply loved, and he looked at me. And he said, Andre, I love you. Will you come and follow me? And I knew exactly who that was. That was Jesus. I knew exactly who it was. Awesome. And you know, that love was so incredible. I don't know how to describe it. Every time I talk about that love, it moves me. It still does. Because no human can love anyone like that. That love is, if you've never experienced that love, you have no idea what I'm talking about. But I said, yes, yes, Lord Jesus. I knew that everything I believed in was a lie and that he was the truth. Nobody had to tell me that. As soon as he was there, it was clear. He is the truth. I believe the lie. And I acknowledge that. And I acknowledge that he is God. I said, yes, Lord Jesus, I believe in you. I give myself over to you. And as soon as I said that, the singing stopped, the convulsion stopped, and I saw two dark creatures come out of me. And then there was this white light that went right through my body, and I felt I was being washed. That's the only way I can explain the experience. It felt like I was being washed by this light, and I had a peace after that, a peace. You know, I've tried meditation, I tried all sorts of drugs, but that peace, nothing comes close to that peace. There is no earthly experience that can come close to that peace that God gave me at that moment. And I fell asleep. And the next morning I woke up and the peace was still there. And I realized what I did. I realized the consequence, but I didn't want to go back. And I was like a newborn baby in a world, and I didn't know what to do. I lived by my occult gifts. They were all gone. I didn't know what to do. So I decided to ring those people in Palmerston North and said, well, look, you realize I wasn't really a Christian. You said, yeah, we knew. And I said, I met Jesus, and I need help. So they gave me the address of some people here in Wellington. And those people took me in their house. And then I wrote a letter to all the witches. And one of the witches was so angry that I gave my life to God, that she said, you know what? I'm going to prove this Christianity is a farce. So she went to a church, and God grabbed her there, and she gave her life to Jesus as well. Then, a few weeks later, in the middle of the night, that goddess that I always saw and heard came back. She said, what have you done? You promised yourself to me. And I said, I belong to Jesus now. You know what she looked like this time, however? She normally comes as a beautiful woman. But she looked like a dragon. She had the same voice, but this time she didn't look like a beautiful woman anymore. She looked like a dragon, a hideous one. And I said, in Jesus' name, I no longer serve you. Get out. And she disappeared. And she never came back. The next month after that, God obviously had a lot to restore in me. And I had such a hunger for God because I wanted to know this Jesus that showed himself to me. If I was willing to give my life for a demon, how much more should I want to give my life to someone like Jesus? So I would spend entire days just on the mountain seeking God, listening to him, reading his word. And there was so much healing required, but he's been so faithful, so faithful. And you can imagine, I rang my parents very shortly after this happened. It was still in the middle of the night there, but I didn't want to wait. And I remember talking to my mom, and I said, and my father was on the line as well. And I said, Mom, Dad, something happened last night. And they were like, well, why are you calling us in the middle of the night? I said, Jesus came in my room, and it was quiet. And they said, what happened? And I said, I had to admit that he is God. I couldn't do anything else. And I said, I just gave my life to Jesus, and I don't know what to do. But there's lots you need to know, I said, about me that you don't know. And they said, that's all right, just write a letter. And I wrote it all in a letter, sent it to them. Of course, there was a shock that I was so deep in witchcraft. But it was also the joy that Jesus saved me out of it. Yeah. And I just want to encourage everyone here this morning that no matter how small you think the deed is that you're doing for someone else, God will use it. Those people that took me into their homes, you know, they all helped. They all made a difference. Don't underestimate the small things you can do to make a difference. And for those of you who have children that don't walk with God, my mom prayed for me for almost 7 years. In the last year, God said, I want you to stop praying, and I want you to start thanking me. because that releases faith. And she began to thank every day, thank you, Lord, for what you're going to do, and that Andre one day will find you and bow his knee before you. And that is exactly what happened. So that's when we begin to pray like a bride instead of a widow. Now, some of you may think, well, that's nice. You went through a really extreme experience, and therefore God showed up in some sort of extreme way. But God has no favorites. If you call upon his name and you truly want to know him, he will make himself known to you as well. He is willing to do that for you too. He wants to make himself known to you. If you mean it, and you say, Lord, show yourself to me in a way I can't possibly explain, then he will do that also for you. He did it for me. And I didn't do anything to deserve it. I had done a lot of bad stuff, I remember. I had done nothing to deserve the love and the goodness of God. And he gave it to me anyway. He would still give me grace. He would still forgive me. He would still say, Andre, I love you. Will you come? And I did. And I hope one day, if you don't know Jesus yet like that, you will do the same thing. You will make the same decision. Because he also knocks on the door of your heart. He is very real. He is very real. I also remember as a witch, I could tell two types of Christians apart, the ones who said they were a Christian but weren't really, and the ones who were a Christian, because I couldn't penetrate them and I couldn't read them. And I also want you to remember that there is a spiritual battle out there. Which type of Christian are you? You need to ask for yourself. Are you the kind of Christian that can be penetrated, that isn't really walking with Jesus? Because the ones that were really walking with Jesus, I could not touch. God is so, so powerful, so much more powerful than the enemy. So much more powerful than the enemy. A lot of people are so scared always of the devil. You should see what God can do. He is way more powerful than the devil. He is way more powerful than the devil. So all honor and glory to Jesus. And I just want to end with prayer. Lord, I pray in Jesus' name, fill this house with your presence, with your glory, with your life. Amen. Father, I pray that if someone, Lord, is here that should know you today, Lord, that you will stir the heart of that person. Lord, I pray for encouragement, Lord, to fill people's hearts, for your life to fill people's hearts in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, that you are here. And that you change lives still today. Thank you, Father. So for me, and I loved how Royce called it, that was like my own personal revival. You see, if I can talk you into the kingdom, someone can talk you out of it. But if you've got your own encounter with Jesus, no one can talk you out of it. He's still alive today. He's still moving today. He's still changing hearts today. He did it for me. He can do it for you. So I just want to encourage you with this. I also want to invite anyone who wants some prayer, encouragement, to come up front. And this is where I now allow you to join me there, Mark.
Awesome, Andre. Wow. If the worship team could come up. If that's spoken to you in any way, make a stand today. Make a stand, come up the front. If the God that Andre's talked about is not the God that you've experienced, come up the front.
Thank you, Lord.
It's not a magic spot, but we want to invite God into your circumstance, your situation.
Yes.
That love that Andre's talked about, that amazing love. So as the worship team play, I want to ask that if you're not coming up for ministry, if you're not wanting prayer, that you head out to the cafe for your conversations and allow those that are seeking for that love, that want to experience that love, when I set you go and have your conversations out there, that'll be really appreciated.
Yeah.
But during the song, you don't have to wait for the song to finish. Come down and bathe in the space that's available where God's love is for all of us.
Yeah. And if you just want a word from God, that's fine. We'll pray for you. Thank you.